We may not be gathering at the river, but here in a few minutes, we're going to be gathering at the baptismal. I hope that's as close as we get today, folks. I hope that's okay. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 36. Acts 2:36. And I hear pages turning, and I see people reading. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. Here's what God's Word says, starting with verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what wonderful scripture this is. All your scripture is wonderful, Lord, but today, as we coming up here shortly, we have a baptism service. We talk about baptism here this morning, Lord. Father, you have appointed me as your messenger here at Beech Grove, and I just ask that your presence be upon me as I deliver the message this morning. I stand and I hide behind the cross, Lord, because I certainly don't want to be in front of it. May your Holy Spirit have me say exactly what I need to say to your people here this morning. May the truth dwell richly in our hearts and in our minds here today. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This is our fourth week in a sermon series that I've entitled, Am I Saved? If God has chosen us for salvation, how do I know that I'm one of the chosen ones or one of the elect? One way of doing that is outlined in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. It says this, that Paul challenges the church at Corinth to examine themselves, to test themselves to make sure that they are in the faith. And if it was good enough for the people at Corinth, it's certainly good enough for us that we need to test ourselves. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith. And over the past 3 weeks, we've taken a self-examination. And we've asked ourselves these questions, and we're up to 10 questions so far. And here's the 10 questions that we've come across so far, the biblical questions, to kind of help point us in the right direction. Are we really in this faith thing or not? Question number one, do we show remorse when we do not obey God's commandments? Question number two, do we refuse to love certain people? Number three, do we regret leaving the world behind? I'm just going to stop right there for a second. I still remember the first week that I asked that question. And I'm going to put this guy on the spot. I said, do you regret leaving the world behind? And Lee Lipscomb was back there doing one of these. No way. That is the correct answer, by the way. Do we regret leaving the world behind? No, we don't. Number four, are we repulsed by our sin? Number five, who comes first in your life? And hopefully that is God. Number six, very important, have you died to self? Number seven, are you joyful for the gift that you have been freely given by God? Number eight, has your life been transformed? Number nine, how do you respond when you are persecuted on account of God's word? And the last question, how do you respond when God asks something of you? There's more questions that we could and should ask ourselves, and actually this sermon series is going to go a couple more weeks, and we'll talk about them over the next couple weeks. But let's stop right now and ask this question. Well, what happens if I have all the answers right? What if I answer all those questions biblically correct and I am of sound faith? What should I do? Well, one thing that you should do is this. You should be baptized. Baptism is going to be a public affirmation of that faith, of passing the test. Actually, this message should be the concluding message of this whole series because it's a good way to wrap it up. Because as we go through and we ask ourselves the questions and we get the right answers, and we know that we are true believers, then the ultimate response would be that we should be baptized because of this faith that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have. But since we're having a baptism today, I felt it appropriate that today we should speak, and I should speak on baptism. So that's what I'm going to do. So actually, this is probably the concluding message of this series. It might be a little out of place, but that's okay. Let's talk about baptism here a second. I want to give you a short summary about baptism, and certainly not everything that could be said about baptism. I'm just going to cover it very shortly here this morning. The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse, or to dip, or to wash. Now, I'm not going to get real legalistic about baptism, but I believe since the word baptism means to immerse, I believe that that's the way baptism should be done. We should immerse a person into water. But again, I'm not going to get dogmatic or legalistic about it. I know that there are probably some denominations, some faiths that do the sprinkling, and if that's what they want to do, that's okay. But I kind of like the fact that the word baptizo means to immerse, to dunk, to dip, to put into the water, and let you back up again. Don't worry, Jacob. You'll go down, but you will come back up again, okay? It might take five of us to do that, but we'll get you back up. But let me share, there are two common misconceptions about baptism. And I want to go over these biblically so we kind of got our facts and our straight about baptism. And these are actually outlined in your bulletin if you want to follow along me. Misconception number one, being baptized guarantees that I go to heaven. Some religions, first of all, that is incorrect. That is not a correct statement. But some religions and some faiths will preach that if you are baptized, you are secure for eternity. And that is not biblically true. There are people who are under this illusion that if I do get baptized, that has signed and sealed my eternity. Trust me, I believe that hell has a lot of residents who have been baptized. As my friend Philip told me one time, he said there are people who get baptized and there are people who just get wet. And there is a difference. It's always a heart condition. It always has been a heart condition. It always will be a heart condition. So, but there is a trend that is going on in Christianity today, and it's becoming more and more popular in the more liberal churches, that it is making salvation appear to be extremely easy to obtain. And they give you a formula for salvation. And here's the formula. The formula says this: you say the sinner's prayer, plus you get baptized, and it equals you are saved. So this, saying a prayer, plus this, getting baptized, equals salvation. In some cases, that may be true, but for the most part, that is not good theology. I don't know what's going on in the heart when the person says the sinner's prayer. I don't know what's going on in the heart of the person who's getting baptized. So therefore, I cannot say that this person is truly saved unless at some point in time they show some fruit in their life. There is going to be fruit shown by the people who are truly believers. But good theology does say this. that a true believer will daily examine themselves. That test that we have been taken. I think we should all write those questions down and each day kind of ask ourselves those questions. Do we do this? Do we do this? Do we? And see if we pass the test. Christianity is not a one-time act. It is a daily journey that continues every day. And if you passed that test, that self-examination, you repent of your sins. That is what Peter says here. And it's what Jesus says. Repent and be baptized. And you go on at that point that you lead a lifestyle that reflects the transformation that God has so freely given you. Do you ever run into those people who say they're Christians, but you really can't tell? You just can't tell? I'm a Christian. I made that altar call back when I was 12 years old, or I did this or I did that. But you really can't tell by their lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. It should be a lifestyle that every day brings us closer and closer to walking and talking like Jesus Christ walked and talked. Let's go to the second misconception. So the first one is this. Just because I'm baptized, does that guarantee I go to heaven? No, it does guarantee that you get wet, but it doesn't guarantee that you go to heaven. But it is a good thing to do if it's done with the right heart condition. Misconception number two is just the opposite. I must be baptized to go to heaven. Again, that's bad theology. No, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. And I'll give you two reasons why that is bad theology. Luke chapter 23, verse 43, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and either to his left or to his right is a thief. And a thief makes a public confession to Jesus that day. And what does Jesus say back to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus doesn't say, well, you know what you need to do? You need to get yourself down off that cross. You need to find some water. You need to get baptized. And then we can do this whole salvation thing. It's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross was not baptized. Also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. God's word says that we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift of God and not by works, lest no man boast. Anything that we do is a work. Baptism would be a work. It would be something that we would do. And since it would be something that we could do, it could also be something that we could boast about. God's word says this, no boasting. The only boasting is in God. That's the only boasting that we do. Remember, we can't do anything to contribute to our salvation. It's a gift. It's a gift that God gives us. It's a good gift. So, now that we have those two misconceptions out of the way, what is baptism? What is baptism? And this is our first fill in the blank in the bulletin this morning. And let's go to God's Word to fill in that blank. Let's fill it in now and then I'll explain it. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward conviction. It's an outward sign of an inward conviction. You notice in our scripture reading here this morning, it says this, that there was about 3,000 people who were convicted of the message that day. And what was their response to that message? They did what Peter said. They repented and they were baptized. They were convicted. And because of that convicted, they say, what must we do? Peter's response, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. They were convicted. But here's something that's one of those two words that's in there that I need to make sure that I point out. He says, repent and be baptized. I think when people are baptized without repentance, they are doing nothing more than just getting wet. The two go hand in hand. Yes, you can be baptized without repenting. You just get wet. And you can repent without being baptized, and that would be okay. But baptism means this. There was an inward conviction. And part of that inward conviction is repentance. I do not want to do the things that I did anymore. I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want to be that person again. I'm a new creature in Christ. That's what I want to be. And you repent of that. Let's go to our second fill in the blank. The inward conviction is a result of God's calling. It's a result of God's calling. Verse 39, the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. For whom he will call. If we read the text, it says that about 3,000 of them were baptized, they accepted the message. It also implies that not everybody accepted the message or received the message that day. Not everybody. God doesn't call everybody. He does call some. He calls some. He doesn't call everybody. That's his choice. We get back to election again. It's his call. And when we get the call, we know it. We know it. I remember when I was working at Genicom, there was a lady, her name was Sandy. She lived up in the same area in Verona where I lived. And occasionally, I would be having my car repaired or something, and I'd bum a ride with her. And one day, she was driving me home, and she's a real good Christian lady. And I asked her this question. I said, Sandy, how do you know that you're saved? I think that's a great question. And she had probably one of the most profound answers I've ever heard. She said this, I know because I know because I know. I don't know how to explain that, but it's a very good answer. You just know. Actually, what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks is this. We know because we pass the test. We pass the test. We know that God has his claim on us. And that's a question that I'm going to be asking a couple people here in a few minutes. How do we know that God has his claim on you? Many people get baptized for the wrong reasons. And it's more of a common occurrence in younger people than what it is in older people. And here's three reasons why some young people would get baptized, and these are wrong reasons. They get baptized because their parents pushed them into it. Go on, Johnny, Susie, you need to get baptized. It almost seems like they push their kids into it when the child really doesn't understand what's going on at the time. Second reason is this. A child will get baptized because their friends are getting baptized. Well, Susie's getting baptized, Johnny's getting baptized, I guess I got to get baptized too. Their friends are going forward and getting wet, why can't they? Or a third reason is they do it as a class. You know, there's actually some churches that when you hit a certain age, you take a baptism class and everyone in this class will all get baptized at the same time. But I think baptism is an individual thing. As a matter of fact, I know it's an individual thing. It's what God is doing in your heart. And only you know what God is doing in your heart. Here are some reasons why a person should desire baptism. What I like to do at this time is the people who have come to me over the past week and said, I want to be baptized, I need for you to come forward. Just kind of have you stand over here, please. And you don't even have to say a word. But I'm just going to talk to you. And actually, I'm going to talk to all of us, but really specifically to you three. Because here's reasons, I got a few of them written down here, reasons why hopefully you are coming forward to be baptized. Okay? You know that God has a claim on your life. You know that God is transforming your life to conform you to be more like Jesus. You have confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You believe in your heart that the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You trust in Jesus alone as the way, the truth, and the life. You love God more than anything else in the world. You want to obey God's commandments and repent and turn away from your sins. I see a lot of yeses. This is good. This is real good. You will love other people, no matter how different they may be. You are excited about what God is doing in your life. You want to be like Jesus. And you will persevere till the end in the faith. This is great. These three are about to make a public commitment to all of us witnesses that God is doing something in their lives. Donna, you said last week that you were baptized as a child. Might not have known exactly what was going on. You were one of those three. But you know today something's different. Jacob, you came to me 2 weeks ago and said, Mike, I'd like for you to baptize me. You know that God's doing something with you. Billy, I ran into you at Ashley's. And I said, isn't this exciting? Your wife's getting baptized. And Billy said, I need to do that too. I don't like to make or want to make Christianity or salvation or even baptism difficult. But I want to make sure it's biblical and it's certain. Because this is something I can't take lightly. You know what God's doing in your hearts. Okay? I think we need to get ready for a baptism here, don't you think? Here's what we're going to do. I want to turn the service over to Greg at this point. Myself and these three, we're going to get ready for a baptism. And y'all are going to conclude the service over here. Come on over there. By that time, hopefully we'll be in our baptism clothes. And we're going to all witness a very, very wonderful and great event. Sound good? Okay.